My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore your profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. With your permission, Sovereign Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, we gather here tonight for this evening of recollection. In this season of Advent, we pray with you, we pray to you. We are in that period of the year immediately preceding Christmas, Adventus, which means the coming, the arrival of the Lord. And that is the time of the year in which the Church invites us to prepare in a very special way, because precisely the Son of God is going to be born into the world very soon. That is the whole idea of the Nativity, Christmas. Advent that lasts for like 4 weeks. It is a time of penance and a time of joy. Penance because the Lord, the coming of the Lord requires the proper disposition of the mind, of the heart, of the body. The coming of the Lord, the arrival of the Lord requires an attitude of prayer. And that is why in the past days, or these days, the gospel have been touching on the message of John the Baptist, who is the herald of Christ, the precursor of the Lord, announcing a baptism of repentance. And that is why, if you notice, the color of the liturgical vestments is purple. And the only time, another time of the year, when the color of the liturgy is purple is Lent, the Lenten season, and the Holy Week, because both have a penitential character. Penance because, again, Christ, the coming of the Lord into the world, calls for spiritual conversion, a new beginning to prepare the way for his arrival, so to speak. Nevertheless, Advent differentiated from Lent in the sense that this period of the year is mixed with joy. The joy because, well, the birth of Christ means our salvation. The birth of the Lord, the incarnation of the Son of God, augurs in our, redemption. And it is therefore a time of hope, a time of expectation, a time of joy. And come Christmas Day, one of the Christmas carols that people sing traditionally, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. But tonight, I would like to call attention rather to the first dimension, the first aspect, that is an aspect of penance necessary to prepare our heart, to prepare our body, prepare our soul, Lord, for your coming into the world, but not just the world, but into my heart, into my soul. To prepare the way for the arrival of Christ, I need to do acts of penance, purification, repentance. And the Lord, take note, who is going to be born, reminds us of the virtue of self-denial and the virtue of poverty, because he is going to be born in a manger out there on a cold night that silent night, the holy night. Christ was not born in the comfort of a hospital, not even a home, but because there was no room for the Holy Family in the inn. What an irony, what a sad thing that the Lord of the universe is coming and humanity could not give so much as little space for Christ to be born. And so he was born in conditions of poverty and privation, the minimum of comfort, if we can speak of comfort. He was born in a manger. A manger is, the Italian would say mangiare, to eat, is actually the wooden box that contains hay to feed the animals like the horses, the sheep, and I don't know, the camels and the cows. That's the kind of stable that the Lord, the Son of God, the owner of the universe, the Lord of history, is going to be born into. Reminding us of the importance of detachment and self-denial, or the virtue of temperance and simplicity. A virtue which I would like to invite you to reflect on tonight, because the Lord tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall possess the kingdom of God. And our Christian life is a paradox. A paradox because in order to live, somehow we have to die. And dying to our old self and leaving behind the former manner of life, my old ways, Lord, that somehow I have abandoned, but it keeps on coming back because of my predominant defects, because of my disordered tendency, because of pride, of sensuality, of attachments. We are flesh, St. John said, and that which is born of flesh is flesh and gives fruits of death and corruption. Among others, there are licentiousness, enmities, contentions, jealousies, quarrels, envies. The letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. On the other hand, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and its fruits are spiritual: charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, longanimity, meekness, faith, modesty, continence, and chastity. And so there's a kind of a tension between the flesh and the spirit, the material and the spiritual. Let me tell you, however, that the human body is not evil, because the human flesh partakes of the dignity of the soul. I mean, it's the whole human person that is saved, not just the spirit, not just our soul, but the whole person. However, even though we say that the body is not evil per se, it has disordered tendency. We have the concupiscence, the fomes peccati, the stain of the original sin that makes us inclined to evil. And it is for that reason that we need to tame, to practice the temperance, self-denial, to mortify, so to speak. Well, temperance is a moral virtue that moderates the attraction of pleasures and provides balance in the use of created goods and also in anything pleasurable. And so it helps us to develop kind of self-dominion, self-mastery. Temperance is one of the cardinal virtues, and so important because without it, experience tells us that we would fall into excesses, the lack of self-control. And we give in to, you know, our disordered desires, free rein, And that's all kinds of aberration and disorder. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that a temperate person maintains a healthy discretion and restrains the appetites. And so there's what you call moderation. Well, the Lord is going to be born very soon. We will find him in the crib, in the crèche. Again, in condition of privation and poverty. From the first moment in the life of Christ, he teaches us of the beauty, the importance of poverty and detachment and self-denial. Now, what is most important in this world is not having many things, the external things. Well, things are useful. Could be the cars, the phone, our clothes, our savings. Those are important things, but they are not the most important thing. A person can accumulate a lot of things, but we grow as a person, not in having more things, but in becoming a better person. So it's in the being, not in the having, not in the possession. And we do have strong desires, innate desires, natural tendencies, powerful appetites, the appetite to eat, to drink, and the sexual drive, that if left unchecked, they can easily ruin us. And many of our past errors are not really due to ignorance. It's because of lack of self-control. And so that translates in terms of curiosity, or overeating, gluttony, or like indulgence and too much of everything is not good. And that is why St. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, said, I know what I should do, but how come I end up not doing it? And the things that I know I shouldn't do, I end up doing it. And who will deliver me from this body of death? And so there's a kind of enslavement. A person who lacks self-control is a slave to his or her passion, disordered tendency. And you recall in August 2005, the Hurricane Katrina that battered the state, especially Louisiana. And New Orleans, like 80% of the city and the surrounding, suburbs were submerged underwater. But among other reasons, because the dikes, the embankments, or the levees collapsed. And so, and then it flooded those wide swath of the city and the surrounding towns. Well, I mention this because it's like a comparison, an analogy to the virtual temperance. It serves like an embankment, a flood wall that prevents the surge of passion to overflow and, ruin our life. So keep it under control. That's what you call temperance, moderation, self-control, and, mortification. Necessary even from a human point of view for us to grow as a person, character development. And a person who is detached is emotionally healthy. And he is not at the mercy of, mood swings or easily carried away by passing emotions, neither easily kind of influenced by external, pressures. But there's a stability, an inner strength. And so then that spirit of detachment would enable us to avoid those kind of impulsive reactions, knee-jerk reactions, impulsive buying, or curiosity, inability to say no to our whims and caprices, thoughtless remarks, hurtful words, and, you know, and there is kind of balance in one's personality. But we do it not just for human ends, but it's actually for the love of God. If anyone would like to come after me, the Lord tells us, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So what do we seek to detach ourselves from? Well, I'd say that anything that brings us away from God, Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, has a short, beautiful prayer. In Spanish, it goes like this: Aparta de mi, Señor, todo lo que me aparta de ti. Take away from me, Lord, anything that takes me away from you. It's a beautiful prayer. Lord, take away from me anything that takes me away from you, whatever that be. Things, lifestyle, certain habits, or whatever separates me from you. We need to examine ourselves. And as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, again, I said we have to foster the proper disposition, an attitude of prayer and detachment, purifying the heart, because the Lord, who is looking for a place to stay, to dwell, would not be able to come into our soul, into our heart, if the heart is enveloped in darkness, if the heart harbors these resentments and anger and impurities. So, Lord, I need to cleanse my heart. I need to purify myself. I need to practice that self-denial and mortification and detachment, temperance. Temperance in the use of material goods, detachment, and simplicity of life. You know, things are necessary and useful for us to work, to function, to be able to serve, to live in dignity, but they do not have absolute importance. There's a hierarchy of values. What is most important in life is, you know, friendship with God, being in the grace of the Lord, and kindness and charity to other people. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but suffer the loss of his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? So temperance in the use of material things, that's what you call detachment or simplicity, or spirit of poverty. But temperance in our sense of self-importance, that is called humility. You know, we do have the natural tendency to lift ourselves up, to speak well about ourselves, but sometimes too much. And precisely that self-exaltation beyond what is reasonable, what is proper, that is pride, and that's the worst enemy of man. And so temperance, moderation, in that self-importance, is called humility. Sometimes we get impatient because things do not turn out the way we imagine, because this person, that person, I don't like his or her ways, because it gets to my nerves, whatever. So, but then we can also overreact and raise our voice, or tone of our voice, and, you know, and become brusque in our manners, rash judgment. So then moderation in anger is called meekness. That's temperance also. We do have that innate desire, attraction, the sexual attraction. And so things that we find, you know, that can attract us, and the opposite sex. And so that inner, the strong drive that is within us, that needs to be tamed as well, channeled, and rediscovering the true meaning of sexuality. And temperance in sexuality is called chastity, self-control, moderation, using the mind and intellect illumined by faith, and not giving oneself to instincts, the base instincts, impulse. temperance in drink, that's sobriety. Because man has a tendency to, you know, to fall into excesses. And these days, you know, we're preparing for Christmas, a lot of Christmas parties and reunions, perhaps family gatherings. And so, well, it's good to remember this virtue, temperance in food and drink. And so on and so forth. You see, the virtue of temperance has many applications in our day-to-day life. I recall years ago, John Paul II, his spokesman, was a member of Opus Dei. He had passed away. His name is Francisco Navarro Valls, or Kiko. We call him Kiko Navarro Valls. And so Francisco had lived with the Pope for years and years. One of those days, early in the morning, Francisco greeted the Pope. Good morning, Holy Father. I hope you slept well last night. The Pope had just come out of the chapel where he had celebrated the Mass and coming for breakfast. And Francisco told him, Holy Father, I have good news for you. And he showed the Pope, he handed him a copy of Time magazine. It was the Holy Father, he said, you are featured, the man of the decade, Time magazine cover. And then there's an article on page, I don't know, 3 or 6, full feature article with photos. And the Pope looked at it and said, oh, thank you, thank you. And then gave it back to Kiko. And Francisco said, Holy Father, there's an article. Wouldn't you like to read it, take a look at it? No, thank you. I have seen it enough. Well, the Pope looked at it for like 2-3 seconds. I have seen it enough. I'm afraid if I'm going to take a look at it, read it, I might begin to like it too much. And so Kiko said, oh, okay, yes. But he kept it to himself and said, this is a man of God, a man detached from desire for fame, a man of God, a man of prayer, a man of, you know, of temperance and detached from worldly, like, glory, humble. And jokingly, he was telling us in a get-together later on, Francisco telling us, well, probably if we were the case, we would photocopy it, scan it, and, you know, tell our friends, hey, I came out first front cover of Time magazine. We don't know, but, you know, here is an example of detachment. We live in a consumer society that spurs people not to be satisfied with what they already have, but to try out the latest items. Pope Francis telling us, if you need to buy something, it need not be the most expensive brand, okay? And so there's a need to foster the habit of self-control, of saying no to ourselves. It's good to learn to say no to ourselves. Because many times, there's a discrepancy between what we like and what we should do. Our preference, on the one hand, and our duty, on the other hand. What we want, on the one hand, what God wants, on the other hand. And sanctity, holiness, is nothing else but the effort to conform our will to the will of God. Thy will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. When referring to material things, Saint Jose Maria, the founder of Opus Dei, used the word dominion, that we are not enslaved, but there is meaning and ease in making decisions, freedom, the freedom of the children of God, absence of attachments, and we are not enslaved by the passing fads, what others might say, what is in vogue, but, you know, we are men of convictions, men of principles. I would like to read words of Saint Jose Maria in The Forged. Do not fix your heart on anything that passes away, imitate Christ, who became poor for us and had nowhere to lay his head. Ask him to give you, in the midst of the world, a real detachment, a detachment that has nothing to soften it. And St. Paul said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound in any and all circumstances. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And, well, I say that the temperance, the detachment, that spirit of poverty is one way to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Because, you know, if we are so much immersed in material things, then it's kind of hard to develop an honest-to-goodness spiritual life. The Lord tells us you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. And so the coming of the Lord invites us again to realize, to fix our gaze on the real treasure. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And also, when, you know, difficulties come, instead of complaining, we can offer it up and learn to the value of sacrifice. Because Christ was born in order to die. He came on earth so that we might go up to heaven. He became man so that we might be divinized. And the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And again, born in Bethlehem, barely with anything, with any comfort. And he left this world almost naked, and he was fastened to the cross. Saint Peter, writing in his first letter, Peter, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And Saint Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be unworthy. You see, having said this, again, the penitential character of Advent is a way to prepare ourselves so that we might become a worthy dwelling place of Christ. At a time when the world, in many ways, are cold and hostile to the faith, and unable to give so much as a little space to God, let us be among the friends of God who welcome him with an open heart, with a pure heart. And let us conclude this meditation turning to our Blessed Mother. And a few days ago, we had the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. What a fitting, you know, way to celebrate that solemnity during the time of Advent. Among other things, because the coming of Christ into the world happened through Our Lady. I mean, he was born into the world through a woman. And so the life of Mary is inseparable from the life of Jesus. And so then let us fix our gaze in Nazareth, sorry, in Bethlehem, where we find Saint Joseph and Our Lady come Christmas Eve. And the time has come for Our Lady to deliver. And there was no place for them in the inn. And so the Holy Family had to go to out there in the fields, on a manger, on a cold night, that holy night, that silent night. And I would like to say that the manger, I said, is that little box that used to feed the animals. And even though it is unworthy for Christ, for the Son of God to be born, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ did not mind to be born in a manger. He chose to be born in a manger. As a metaphor for us to think that we, Lord, my heart, my life, unworthy as I am because of my defects, because of my pride, because of my failures, because of my infidelity. But I would like to open my heart. And Christ wouldn't mind to be, you know, to come into our soul, into our heart, even though we are just a manger. Because what he's looking for is true faith, hope, and love. Lord, I would like to be that manger, if only that is the only way for you to come into my soul. Holy Mary, our hope, Mother of Christ, pray for us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.